Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should we turn that?
Do you want it slightly?
Sorry, just keep the rugby on in the background. Sorry, yeah. So we're hello. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm Tim. Phil is there.
Hi, Tim.
And that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
We're in the rugby dungeon, and there is 25 minutes currently on the clock in the final match of the European Champions Cup weekend. Leicester 7, Munster 3, as it stands. And we were just having, you just caught us having a little bit of a dispute. Are we all right with it being on very quietly in the background?
I want to hear what Jerry the Guns Flannery has to say. But I'm not allowed to because Phil doesn't want me to.
No, I'm very happy. I mean, if the result if the result stays as it is currently, and Leicester win, that means I predicted 9 out of 9 correctly on my £2 accumulator, and we'll win £90.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So come on, Leicester.
Gambling's right. Not for mugs. I think it's fair to say.
JB, we don't have the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast theme today because I've got something I thought that might be more appropriate, being as this is the final podcast before. Well, this is probably the final podcast. Are we going to do one on next weekend after Christmas?
Let's play it by ear.
There's games, aren't there?
There's games, yeah.
I'm here on the Monday. We could do it on Monday one.
Yeah, we could do it on the Monday. Yeah, all right, so it's not the final podcast of the year, but it is the final one before Christmas. I'll play something instead of the... This is something we featured on the podcast before in a festive way to start things off. Do you remember when Nottingham Rugby Club did their version?
Oh, I said you were there, I couldn't find it.
With Ayula.
Nottingham Rugby Club did their version of Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues, and they did Fairy Tale of Nottingham, and it features the deepest voice ever ever recorded by centre Ayula Arinley.
An old man said to me, this could be our year.
This bit's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird.
The army sang a song.
This isn't Ayula Arinley. You'll notice when Ayula Arinley comes in.
There's a marked difference.
Yeah, big difference.
And dreamed about the prem.
Here's Ayula Arinley.
Here it is.
Keep your feet on the ground. The league's so tight now. The playoffs are in our sights. I build my dreams around them.
There we go. Let's get on with the podcast today. We've got plenty to discuss, not least the European rugby that's happened this weekend, round 4 of the competition. And also we've got Eddie Jones, who's been, well, I was going to say recruiting, probably poaching is probably more of an accurate way to describe what he's been doing to assemble his coaching team. So we'll be discussing that. And also there is the rumour that's been circulating this week. And as we speak right now, there is no confirmation that Dylan Hartley will be Eddie Jones's England captain. So we've got that to talk about. Do you mind if I'll just go through a couple of tweets we've had in the last week?
Please, fire away.
The first one, after watching a match this weekend, Sam stands up, says, did anyone else, and this is again, it's got a festive link, anyone else see more than a passing resemblance between Camille Lopez and Shane McGowan?
Shane McGowan
from the Pogues.
Oh right, yeah, okay.
I kind of see what he's talking about there. Owen McDowell has got in touch to say he's been blocked by Times journalist
rugby journalist
Stephen Jones. He says, I finally feel like a legitimate rugby fan.
Who follows Stephen Jones? I'd love to know who follows him and gets on with him.
Well, he's got 10,000 odd followers.
But who?
But well, I just wonder because we followed him and then he blocked us. Does that still count towards a follower?
He blocked us.
So we didn't do innocence.
No, he blocked us because of something one of our followers did and tagged us in the same tweet.
Yeah.
And so he just blocked us.
And then I think in his, I don't know if you saw his tweet, his reply tweet, saying like, oh, it's something along the lines of, are you an award-winning journalist? Block. Something like that. which I thought was magnificent, actually.
He seems like a good guy when you meet him, but on Twitter, he's very...
I love how confrontational he is.
Very
good.
Belligerent. Alex Telfer is one of the people that got in touch about our festive 15 last week, and there were lots we missed. Like, for example, we missed Santa Sinotti, who could have got in our team.
Wenceslas Lorette.
Loads and loads of suggestions for that one. I can't believe we missed it. And Monday Books on Twitter said Andrew Mertens, Frank in Bunce, and Gary Gold.
And also,
Gary Gold. I can't believe we missed Gary Gold.
Aaron Manger says Jim Bob DB.
Good.
And my boyhood rugby club, Newbury Rugby Club, got involved as well this week on Twitter and suggested Rocky Elfson.
Oh, I like that.
Cliff Richard Hill. Although
I'm not so sure about
it's just a little
Richard Cliff Richard.
I mean, he's not just a Christmas thing, is he, Cliff Richard?
Cliff Richard's for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
not
yeah.
just for Christmas.
I think you have to be careful about mentioning Cliff Richard. He's on that list now, isn't he, with people you have to be careful about.
I thought he was cleared, wasn't he?
No. I think he doesn't come back to the UK anymore. And he's in a, what's it called?
You're very good at this sort of thing, though, Tim, because you've got these sort of gossipy connections because of your background.
He's living in Barbados now, which I think you can't be extradited.
Are you saying that he's hanging around with Roman Polanski somewhere?
Saying nothing of the sort. I'm saying he seems to be very eager not to come back to the UK.
I don't know what he's done wrong, because he's, man's clearly an asexual, so...
Yeah. I don't want to go into it.
Yeah.
And also, this rugby club got in touch and said, and I don't know, I want to know, Deck Hall is apparently a player, which would be a really... No, Leicester are on the Munster 5-yard line. Try your hand at commentary, JB. Go on. See how you do it at commentary.
Okay.
Jay, go on.
Cheating Munster, holding up the ball again. Look at them, scoundrels. Brave Leicester scrum half, shipping the ball wide to another nondescript wing. I don't know who that is.
It's Gonover.
Gonover.
Miles Benjamin would have finished.
I can only imagine this is tremendously hard. I don't think I could do it for sure.
There you go. Okay, fine. We've got loads of tweets. It's at Rugby Podcast. You can get us on Twitter. You can listen to the podcast on the Acast app, and you can also listen on iTunes. And thank you very much for the reviews we've had in the last week. Like Paul DeWero. Give you a shout because he said Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast 5 stars, almost as good as Miles Benjamin.
Well, that's very kind of you, but we've got quite some way to go yet before as good as Miles.
I know Miles is.
Oh, Miles showed up on Twitter.
He did. There was a picture of.
That's right. There was someone got a picture with Miles Benjamin, and then had obviously told him how much we love Miles Benjamin because the tweet had a picture and it said Miles. At Rugby Podcast, these are the guys that love you that I was telling you about.
We love you, Miles.
We do. And it says, literally, the three wise... This is the Flatser on Twitter. Literally, the three wise men of rugby. Abuse and praise to players and coaches dished out in equal measure. Sign up and you won't regret the banter flying around.
Oh,
lads. Thank you very much. So leave your reviews. Right, before we get into the rugby, should we just deal with the England captain scenario?
Yes, let's do that.
Because I think that's been one of the biggest things that people have reacted to.
Which aspect do you want to deal with it first?
Well, the rumour is Dylan Hartley. What do you think? What's your gut reaction?
The rumour came out and my gut reaction was, well, I don't know when he's going to be back fit. Because he's been concussed for 6-8 weeks. He's not played since then and currently has no... expected return date because they're playing things by ear. But there's a 5 stages of the concussion protocol and he's not got sufficiently through them to be able to return to play. So we don't actually know if he'll even be fit for the Six Nations.
Yeah.
So do you think this is an unsubstantiated rumour then?
Well, just it had the feel of a lot of these rumours. Like, Borthwick and Gustard were a rumour and then it was announced the next day. So it's got the feel of it, but just... I don't know.
I think it's substantiated, but if their first move is to announce or thinking of announcing a captain who they know hasn't passed his concussion protocol and might not play, well, that's an absolutely idiotic thing to do. Because all you're going to do is burn your bridges with the next guy that needs to replace him, and you're the hooker.
Or the incumbent, who would probably be the second option.
Exactly.
I did see a quote from Eddie Jones that said he wants a captain with some niggle. So
got one.
So it might be just someone's reading into that. We'll see. But for me, Well, Tim, would you have him as captain?
Would I have Dylan Hartley as captain? Well, no, hold on. Well, let me just go to some of the tweets we've got in the last week. And this one from Tyra79 on Twitter says, Dylan Hartley was the Saints' longest-serving and most successful captain.
Exactly.
But that side of the argument is rarely heard. And also, Brian on Twitter said, what about Martin Johnson's disciplinary record? And that was when he played in the era with far less technology and sightings as well.
Yeah, I mean, Martin Johnson nowadays would have about four games and be banned for life.
I don't mind players playing hard and playing niggly. What he does is he loses his cool in pressure situations. That's the element of his disciplinary... Forget the bans and stuff. It's the decisions he makes when he's really in those crucial moments which makes a big difference. And it has cost England in the past as well.
Yeah. Well, he effectively lost the game against South Africa last autumn.
Yeah.
But he's missed time winning. He missed the World Cup. Yeah. He missed the Lions Tour. And not only the Lions Tour, he cost Northampton the Premiership final.
Well, yeah, but he also won
sent
one.
Off in the first half.
Yeah. But he also won one.
And well, but you're saying it's a 50-50 then? All right, you can't have an international captain who's 50-50.
Right, let's just take the one starting point is if you could pick a player purely for being a captain and forget about how good they were as a player, then you'd have someone like Stuart Hooper.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
The perfect...
intelligent...
The perfect captain.
Leader.
Great speaker, leader, perfect professional, calm under pressure. Unfortunately for Stuart Hooper, he's just not a good enough player. I do have reservations about Dylan Hartley, not least the fact that Jamie George is pulling up trees.
Yeah. Jamie George is playing very well at the moment.
I go back to where we were when we were talking about the England captaincy about a month ago, and my personal thought is there's no urgency to pick one. The World Cup is 3-4 years away, and the natural leader will make themselves known in the next year, let's say.
I agree with everything you've said, but I also love the selection. I love getting players that play on the edge. I know Phil got very, very animated before that he might cost you a game, and he might do. But what also costs you a game is having a captain like Robshaw and having the mental edge which England had in the World Cup, which was effectively no edge. I think it's a really positive step, and you know that's why you pay this guy big money, because no one else would have done this outside of maybe Jim Mallander.
Well, he's not done anything yet.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point. But if he does do it, I absolutely love it. Because it's a statement of intent that this will not be easy now. We're not going to be nice people. Our mothers might not be that proud with our antics on the field, but we're going to be a real nightmare to play against.
I wonder if there's even a little tiny bit which is like fingers up to the last regime. Yeah, you banned him, I'm making him captain.
Yeah.
That might be... And I can understand that. And I can understand it saying, right, this is a culture shift, going for something different, a different angle. I can understand that, and I can understand selecting Hartley as a captain. For me, I wouldn't, because his disciplinary record is too high, but I can understand the argument to do so.
Imagine the pressure, because everyone knows that he likes to blow up, and now he's captain, and in the middle of the scrums as well. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting?
Everyone would target him all of the time. For 80 minutes in every international match, people would target him. And I'm not sure Dylan Hartley can deal with that.
Anyway, rugby this weekend then. So European Cup round 4. Due to various works, knees ups and parties and stuff, we haven't all seen all the rugby, but hopefully we can cover it all off between us.
I think between us we've seen most of the stuff.
Do you want to go chronologically then again?
Happy to do it.
Let's do it.
We can get over Friday night pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Does it feel... I don't know how many times these two teams have played. It seems to be every year we've got to watch this fixture. Yeah. And I'm sure they've had
Northampton
a draw before.
Northampton Racing we're talking about, obviously.
Yes, sorry, of course. I'm sure they've had a draw before. So, generally speaking, when these two teams play, you get one of two results. A massive, massive beating up of Northampton, or a draw. And neither is particularly entertaining.
Last weekend's game was entertaining. It was good to see Carter... And it was good to see the power of the forwards and the interlink, like Doolan and Rokotoko tearing it up last week.
Yeah.
And obviously Carter. But this week, the game never really got going. It was stop-start a lot of the time. There was knock-ons and no consistency.
Mike Phillips has now started two games in a row.
Yeah.
Apparently this is purely on the basis that he can speak English and Dan Carter can't speak French.
And Maxime Machinot can't speak English.
So again, big sexy.
I can't believe they haven't used the cliche that they always use in football. They go, "You don't need to understand language. You just need to understand the language of football." They always say, "Why haven't they started using that with rugby?"
Because we've got some intelligent commentators and pundits, probably.
So just jumping back briefly, we'll obviously just do the results. Gloucester beat Worcester again. Montpellier beat Cardiff by a point in a tight game. Grenoble had the most entertaining game of the whole weekend. Grenoble, however you want to say it, 48. Agen, 45.
What? Wow. How did I miss that?
I know. A 93-point thriller. And in that same pool, 5, Edinburgh edged a win over London Irish. Saturday in pool one. Or do you want to? Oh, yeah, whatever. Let's go through the pools on Saturday. So, pool one, Saracens dominated Oyonnax again.
As expected.
50, magnificent Saracens.
50 points again.
Hat-trick for Chris Ashton.
Yeah.
Not that it's saying much when it's in a 50-point win.
Yeah.
And it were 3 pretty simple tries. But they just...
We've talked about them a lot recently.
Oyonnax are very poor. Saracens are very good. End of.
Yep.
Bordeaux Bagel with a lovely kit. Got a 6-point win, 33-27 against Ospreys.
6-point win?
6-point win, yeah. 33-27.
I thought you could only have a
won by 6 points in an entertaining. there were 60 points in the game and they won by 6. And, good game.
Yeah, Bordeaux were pretty comfortable for most of the game. Ospreys staged a late fight back. I don't know if either of you saw the Dan Bigger intercept try.
God, he's good, isn't he?
Where he almost messed it up because he started jogging and didn't see a winger who was blindsided him.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And then as he started accelerating, almost stumbled and went head first.
Well, this is the problem, okay, with Dan Bigger. He only is world class when there's a world class amount of pressure on him. that's how he works.
It was almost comical. The way he almost messed it up, but didn't. Just did enough.
Are we all in agreement now that he is the world's best fly half?
Dan Carter's the world's best fly half.
No, he's not. It's Dan.
Dean Carter.
It's Dan Bigger. It's definitely someone called Dan. Can we all agree Dan is the world's best fly half? Dan.
Yes.
And then we've got a difference of opinion on the surname.
Ooh, fair play.
What's going on?
I haven't broken a mirror. No. Fine.
All okay.
Another ugly. Let's just mention the score. Scarlet 6, Glasgow 9.
Yeah. This is disappointing, actually, because two of the so-called beauty teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just say poor BT Sport with some of their like 6 all on Friday, 6-9 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Pretty ugly.
I looked for highlights for this high and low, but I don't think any exist.
No,
I don't think you could possibly conjure up even a minute's worth of highlights.
Everyone's banging on about what wonderful rugby both these teams play, and it's miserable, actually.
Must have been bad conditions.
They just nullified each other in this one. Stade Français thumped Benetton, fine, move on. And there we go. At least BT Sport did have a game that was quite entertaining on Saturday. Bath 10, Wasps 36.
Yes, well,
unbelievable.
I'm only saying yes because this is what I thought might happen, and then last week just threw everything off. I thought the world might end last week.
36-10 at the Wreck.
Yes.
Mm. It's the biggest defeat Bath have had inflicted at home in almost 5 years.
But it almost felt like it was coming to a certain degree. Like, Bath have just been... And they've been out of sorts. That's no secret.
That's a good way of describing it. Because they've got the players there. They've got the talent. They've just not been... They've not been clicking. I know BT Sport did an interesting little bit of analysis on the difference that Matawalu makes to... having Peter Stringer. Because Peter Stringer...
Oh, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Just simple service.
Yeah, his strength is very fast. Very fast pass. Very fast from the base of the ruck, the scrum, the maul. Matawalu is a lot more unpredictable.
Wasps have 2 guys that do that. Simpson and Robson, when he came on, both. I was just taken aback. The service, so quick.
Yeah, because it's gone. In, gone.
Yeah.
It's very impressive, actually.
Matawalu, something like 78% of the time, he doesn't pass the ball immediately. So Ford is getting less time, and Ford needs time because he wants to be making the decisions, he wants to be doing everything.
But they've got Chris Cook, and he's not a bad player by any stretch.
No, and I hope we start seeing more of Chris Cook.
I think they're going to have to.
They had a rumbling driving maul, which has again been something that they've shown up with strong in the last few years. And it was almost harder for Matt Garvey to be held up than to score it. I don't understand how he managed to... It's like his own player hit him and flipped him onto his back like he was a ladybird or something, or whatever, beetle or something.
Just like that.
I don't know how he managed it, but... Bath have got issues, as we know, and they'll be hoping to bounce back in the Premiership again. They need to. Wasps, fantastic.
Yeah, they're going places. They are going places.
Leinster showed up quite well against Toulon.
Yes, they were winning for most of the game.
Yeah. This is a depressingly kind of inevitable result, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Leinster were up at the half, but just Toulon are grinding, aren't they? Mm. They are just... They just carry on going, and then when they're not quite winning, they bring on another 120 stone worth of substitutes, and then they carry on going.
But they've got enough power, well, enough money, and therefore enough power to keep winning.
Mm.
And that does make that group look... It feels a little bit ominous, with Toulon getting smashed by Wasps in their first game because they missed the first round, and then two games, one on the bounce against Leinster.
That's delicately poised, that pool, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've got to play Bath twice.
Yeah.
Which, based on the way things are going, I'd give that two wins to Toulon.
Mm. Yeah, big wins as well, actually.
Yeah, and then London Wasps return fixture. Oh, sorry, Wasps, not London Wasps. It's written down as London Wasps on what I'm reading here.
Oh.
That's wholly incorrect.
That is incorrect.
So it's been incorrect for a number of years as well.
Yeah. Elsewhere on Saturday, Sale Sharks beat Cast in the Challenge Cup.
Steve Diamond is obviously delighted to win this game. He you know, smiling ear to ear, all the rest of it. But he didn't start his first team. In fact, he started Joe Ford at fly half.
Yeah, they've rested everyone in all of the...
And they've still won.
In all the Challenge
Cup. I can't really work it out. What is it that they... Do they want to win it? Do they not want to win it? I just really can't work out what the significance is of a sale.
Well,
you play
got...
every weekend, don't you? So Premiership is bread and butter because they want to be in the top competition, obviously.
But don't forget that this season, a lot of the teams in the Challenge Cup are using it as a chance to rest their play their reserves, play the younger lads, because they don't have an LV Cup this year. So this is an opportunity to get those boys game time.
Yeah.
And interestingly as well, Steve Diamond was saying that it took him 30 hours to travel to... travel to the away game, and Cast actually flew up on a private jet for their game. So
30 hours, really going back.
I was wondering that.
Magic
bus. Well, we're going to land in Italy, and then we're going to hike over somewhere.
Bit of a team building. We'll drop you in some random city in Bucharest, whatever they got cheap EasyJet flights to, and you have to make your way
there.
Got
a compass and a map. Yeah. Good luck, guys. Game Saturday afternoon.
Poe. Got beaten by Dragons. Quinn stuffed Calbazano. Zeba beat La Rochelle. What's happening?
Quinn's game. Jamie Roberts scored first try on debut
from 3 yards. Was it
exactly 3 yards? Yeah. No more, no less.
There you go. That's Saturday. Right. Let's have a pause. We'll talk about Sunday in a minute. But we got plenty on the podcast. And Phil came up with a brilliant idea of giving a gift from the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast to the new England head coach Eddie Jones.
It was. Several gifts, actually. I've got gifts for you two.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Sitting on the table over there. I don't know if you want to do that now.
Do that now. If we're giving a gift to Eddie Jones, you might as well give us one at the same time. So I've got I've got two rectangular gifts here.
The smaller one is for you, Tim, and the larger one is for JB.
Makes sense.
There you go. They feel like books.
Yeah, it feels like... It looks to my size of thing. I've been significantly better than you this year.
Oh, thank you, Phil. I very much appreciate it. A gift.
Well, let's open it before we start thanking you. We don't know what it is yet.
Very good point. I think, Jay, you will be delighted with yours.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm going to read it. I know what it is. I have got... Tim, what have you got?
What have you got?
House of Lancaster.
Yes.
Now, I was hoping that this would be like 1p, but it's actually not.
What? Do I have to pay you back, do I?
No, of course not. But
because I'd pay any amount for this.
So I was thinking about the economics of this. I was thinking everyone would just be trying to get rid of it. But then also, if he'd won the World Cup, they'd be printing thousands of copies, whereas I guess the supply, there'll be no more of these ever printed.
No.
So it's now a collector's
It's like that scene in Alan Partridge where he has all the copies of Bouncing Back pulped. They'll just have tons of copies of Stuart Lancaster's autobiography pulped.
Back to Phil's point, one of the top selling rugby books, if you go by the Waterstones display, is still the Martin Johnson book from the World Cup.
Is it? Well, I have got, and thank you very much, Phil, I have got Me and My Mouth, Austin Healey, the autobiography. Now, what I like about this is I'm working at Sale Against
Wasps
on the 2nd of January for BT Sport. And if Austin Healey is on the team, I could pack this in my bag and really creep him out by be sat there reading it.
Can I just have it, Tim? I've just had a very brief flick through before.
Well, I'm going to have a quick flick through.
And the favourite line that I read was, let me get it here. I remind me a lot of Jonah Lomu. it always takes at least two players to stop me.
Well, I've just opened it randomly and I've got...
Who do you remind yourself of? There's a question. Who do you remind yourself of, JB?
I remind me, if I was a professional rugby player in my dream world, I remind me of Louis Pickermals. That's it.
Yes, I can see that.
Oh, lovely. But lovely bit of bedtime reading, Phil. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So I've got a lovely Christmas gift. JB's got a gift. Now let's the three of us give a gift to Eddie Jones. Oh, Munster just scored.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
No, is it disallowed?
Please be disallowed.
They're not celebrating. Oh, loosehead prop diving in at the corner. You never get... That happens so rarely.
Did you see the Stade Francais props try this weekend?
Oh,
From 40 yards out.
Unreal.
Brilliant try.
It was brilliant.
Albeit against... Treviso.
Oh, you're watching it in the mirror. I was wondering what the hell are you doing?
Oh, it was definitely a forward pass. Anyway, so we're going to give Eddie Jones a gift for Christmas, and that is he's got to scratch his head and pick an England team for 6th of February. First week in February, Scotland isn't far away, and he's got to pick his squad in January. So we can help him out by picking his first England team for that Scotland game.
That's a great idea.
Well, it's your idea, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
So let's do it. Let's pick Eddie Jones' first England team. And we've got a perfect number for this, 3, so we can have a democracy if we need to pick between two players. So let's go through the team. So loose head prop. Right now, who'd you pick?
Me personally, I'm a big Marla fan, but I think Mako has been absolutely outstanding this year. He's been getting man of the match performances. His carrying, his work rate, his offloading game have all been superb. So I would have Mako Vunipola.
I don't really know. I think this is going to be a fiendishly hard task.
All right, I'll just say Mako then. Yeah. Then we can move on if you don't know.
Well, it's because we don't know what he's going to do. Who would have predicted?
No, we're not trying to predict. We're trying to give him a gift of doing it for him.
This is who... Because we are obviously very well informed.
We've
watched a lot more English rugby over the past few years than Eddie Jones.
Although, I would argue, how many Eddie Joneses are there? Because he seems to be everywhere.
I know, he's at virtually every game, isn't he?
And I think Mullen is pushing Marler for that spot on the bench. Hard.
Yeah. You've got three outstanding loose head props there.
Right. Hooker. Go Jamie George.
Yeah. Oh, they're on.
Jamie George.
I would also go Jamie George. Yeah. I would really like to see Hartley get back to fitness and get a good run and demonstrate that he has learnt from his mistakes, because he could be a very big asset to England.
Absolutely. So we've got two Sarries players so far. Tight head prop.
Toss up between Dan Cole, who has not been playing particularly well for England, but Leicester are doing very well, their scrum's very good. And Kieran Brooks.
Yeah.
Who unfortunately went off injured.
I know.
On Friday night.
Yeah. David Wilson is sort of dropped down Bass pecking order a little bit. He started yesterday and Mullen gave him a bit of a seeing too. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it probably will be Dan Cole starting, but I would be tempted to go just hand that number three shirt to Brooks, and he's been outstanding this season.
He's a good carrier as well. That's the other thing about Brooks. Very good carrier.
He's good all round.
He's a beast.
Yeah, so one of those two we're quite happy with.
Yeah.
Into the row then.
Atwood and Launchbury.
Has Atwood's form this season been particularly good?
He was the only player I would suggest yesterday in the Bath Pack that came up with any real credit.
He worked very hard yesterday.
And that's
I'll give him that.
Hard-working second rows are the key, because that's what they've got to do. They've got to do horrible, horrible grunt work.
Interesting. Rob Baxter came out and said that he has spoken to Eddie Jones about Mitch Lees.
Yeah.
27-year-old at London Welsh last year. London Welsh signed him over from Australia.
Yeah.
Uncapped, but English qualified. And he's keeping Jeff Parling out of the Exeter Chiefs team. And Rob Baxter said he is just working his socks off.
Do you think it's going to end up? Do you remember?
He's a massive unit as well.
Enormous. He's nearly 20 stone, which helps.
You've got a Petty Fenua at Leicester. You've got Lachlan McCaffrey. You've got Mitch Lees. There must be some other London Welsh players that have kind of just gone out elsewhere. Do you reckon it's going to be one of those weird things where you look back at it and you think, how was that team so bad? Yeah. And these players have gone on to do so much.
Yeah. Ollie Barkley.
Still there.
That's why they're so bad.
What's his name? The big fat scrum half.
Piri Piri Whippu.
So second row, I go Launchbury for sure. And probably Laws as well.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Laws has only played a couple of games back. Yeah. But he's a very, very good player.
Atwood.
I can see Atwood. I can see Cruis making a push. Cruis is a class player.
He is.
And I think Itoji, it's too early for him.
And now, I've not said this before, but I want to say it again. He has put on a lot of bulk.
Itoji.
He is looking like a different man.
It was for players like Itoji, that's a... I mean, he's a year older and he's at that age when his testosterone must be just on all-time high. He could probably do spending an afternoon at the Worcester
relaxation room. Wi-Fi driven relaxation room.
But he's at that age when you do make those size gains. But also, he's had like a 5-month pre-season.
Yeah.
Just hitting the weights hard.
Yes.
Because of the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree. But, I'm with you all the way with the players you've mentioned so far.
So you're in Atwood.
Kitchener looks good as well.
He's a great player. Mm. And Slater.
Yeah. Pick your England back row, JB. Pick your whole back row.
Okay. I'm going to say
Haskell.
Haskell. Hughes. Robshaw.
He's not available till June.
At the expense of Hughes.
Surely Billy is a light, let's all agree.
Billy at 8.
Give me Ewers, Haskell, and Billy. Yeah, I'm going to drop Robshaw. There you go.
Okay. You as Haskell, Billy. I would go Billy. You as Robshaw.
Ewers is currently injured, assuming he's back fit, I'd love to see him in the squad. I'd probably go Ewers, Billy, Robshaw, and I would probably retain Robshaw as captain only because I do not know who else could do as good a job. Robshaw has now got a huge amount of experience.
I think Haskell
as an international captain.
Yeah, but you know, I could have a huge amount of experience as an international captain. If I had 50 caps, it wouldn't make me any good. I don't think he needs to be captain of England. In fact, I think the clean slate for him will do him a world of good. He can come back and really establish himself as the best six in England, if that's what he is. Because he's not the best seven. Well, I actually think that...
Who is the best seven?
Dave Ward.
Dave Ward, yeah. Dave Ward or...
the best seven in England is George.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Smith, but he's not available for England, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kvesic's worth mentioning because he is having a good season and Gloucester look like they're winning.
He's still a penalty machine,
yeah,
though.
He just gives away so much stuff.
So many dull penalties.
I'd have Robshaw. Even if you think he's out of position at 7, I think that would be better for England than having Kvesic, personally, but...
Well, OK.
Eddie Jones may see it differently, and he's pretty good at assembling a team rather than a collection of individuals.
Neck on the line, I would... If I had to win a game tonight, I would play Haskell. I think his work rate's higher. His tackle count... Although Robshaw works hard, Haskell works equally as hard, if not harder. He's consistently top of the charts for tackles, the work he gets through.
But he runs upright and bounces off.
I know!
Do you know what Haskell's also top of the charts of?
Go on.
Yellow cards for England.
Is he really?
Yeah. So in the France game when England could have won the Six Nations and he tripped whoever it was.
Oh, that is so silly.
Gave that yellow card and lost the game.
That could have been a red, actually.
Wilfred's been talked about. Well,
we've talked about him for a long time.
I've never really seen him play except for like
He's had massive problems with injury. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about playing Scotland away first game. So yes. Anyway, scrum half then.
I think that we are perennially weaker. I just can't think. Danny Kerr would be my go-to.
Kerr or Simpson?
Kerr or Simpson for me.
For me too. Kerr or Simpson.
Yeah, I'd be happy with either one of those.
Both got excellent quick service.
Simpson actually. I mentioned him.
And both are a threat and will hold in those guards.
Yeah.
Will give you fly off more time just by the fact they're a threat close to the base. And Ben Youngs I think will be in the squad, but I'd have those two be my first choice. Fly half then.
Farrell.
It's got to be Farrell.
Best fly half in the Premiership at the moment.
He, probably more than any other England player, as well as Robshaw, has got so much stick. Because we were all sitting there and we were going, why is he not giving Ford a chance? But you can only admire what Owen Farrell is doing.
Pre-World Cup, yes. Post-World Cup, I've got nothing but praise for him. The only England player, really, for me, did anything in the World Cup of any note.
Mike Brown. Mike Brown was outstanding in the World Cup.
Farrell is a different league.
He was superb.
Both Saracens and England, actually.
And Ford will be involved and hopefully his formal return, and then that'll be a great shootout for that 10 jersey, which is what you need.
Or you could have both of them playing at the same time. Potentially.
Yeah.
Because if we go to inside centre next, I don't actually know. I've written my team down here, and I'm currently blank on inside centre.
Well, let's do that then, because I'm the same. I've got my team, and I'm kind of like... Obviously, if Slade were fit, I'd be picking Slade, but...
Yeah.
Actually, solid. Let's just do that then. Ford, Farrell.
Barrett.
12 trees. Barrett. Now, Barrett might have a chance with Gustard.
Yeah, weirdly.
Yeah.
Symbolically, that Brad Barrett inside centre would not a change of culture make.
No, but there's Burrell, 12 trees.
I'd probably look at Burrell.
Eastmond...
Farrell's my personal favourite. I think every time he's played for England, he's done really well. I think Ford Farrell is a great idea on paper. I was certainly one I'd like to see, but facts on the ground, it's going to be Burrell because he's been consistently good for England.
Right, Bruce Craig, can you sign Owen Farrell, please, so we can just get that at club level? Swap him for Eastmond.
No, because you'll go to the NRL. Bruce Craig will sign him. They'll pause him at 12, then they'll move him to 6, and he'll go to the NRL.
All right. So, based on the fact that Henry Slade is not available, and I'm not satisfied with any of the 12 options that I could pick at the moment, based on their form or their style of play, I would just go Ford Farrell. What would you do, Jay?
Burrell.
Outside centre, then.
Me personally, I would have JJ. But I would definitely have Daly on the bench.
Yes, I would. But if
Daly covering the back three on the bench.
You had to win. You're in Murrayfield. You take the experience. On form, Daly is running
Daly.
In really close.
I would say Daly.
Daly as a utility back as well. He's got to be on the bench.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is
a disgusting kick.
I tell you what, these two fly halves today in the Munster game.
Freddie Burns just missed a horror kick.
They may as well just not be striking the ball. It's like exchanging air kicks.
Come on, Leicester. There's £90 on this for me.
Anyone do some Richard Cockerell lip reading? Then I did.
We'll come back to the same. Have you heard about Freddie Burns' condition? He's got Bell's palsy. Do you know what that is?
No.
Bell's palsy is when a portion of your face, usually half it, is completely frozen. It takes about 9 months to get over.
Wow.
3 to 9 months. It sounds absolutely horrific.
Oh, God.
So I think that's one of the reasons that he's been out. He went on a flight to Barbados, and on the way back, one side of his face just froze up.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Didn't know that.
If you want to know exactly what this is, and you're a fan of wrestling, JR in wrestling has the same thing.
Thanks, Jay. So Jonathan Joseph wins the nod at 13. Elliot Daly pushing him very, very close.
Very close.
A tweet from Jack. I hope I say your name right. Beans or Biange or whatever. Anyway,
Biange.
Anyway,
that's how you say it.
Jack has said, on the subject of long-limbed players, because I was commenting on the length of Luther Burrell's long shins.
Yes, go on. Okay.
He says, Jonathan Joseph, on the subject of long-limbed players, boys, Jonathan Joseph has the longest arms of any human. Fact.
Yeah. Except for maybe one. The Toulouse flanker, Camara, is a gigantic specimen. I've got a feeling...
No, I think he's talking about disproportionately long arms, though.
Oh, no, yeah. This guy's just like this athletic freak. He just, he's one of the few players of Toulouse, in Toulouse that can actually run.
England back three. While Phil's looking for a picture of long-armed Jonathan Joseph.
JJ, Wade, and...
JJ on the
Goud. On the wing.
Yeah. Only because I want him in the team.
Wait, no Watson in your back three.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Wade is also injured, so you can't have Wade.
Okay, so I'll have Watson then, and I'll have Goud at fullback.
I would go, based on what I've seen form-wise, I think I would go Watson definitely in the back three. Brown I would go as my fullback still.
Me too.
And then the other wing, Ashton, I think, has got to be in with a shout. He's playing outstanding
rugby. All right,
rugby.
If you want to go...
He's always superb going forward. If Gustard can find a way with the England team that he virtually never has to do any defensive work, then that's fine. But for me, he's too much of a liability defensively.
Yeah, but Gustard knows exactly what
he's
doing.
Maybe he does. Offensively, he's outstanding. And did you see that try by David Strettle today?
Yes, I was thinking David.
Outstanding.
About David Strettle.
I don't want him in my England team, but that was a hell of a try.
Yeah. Who's your other England winger then, Phil? Because Rocco, again, in a bad Bath team, is looking excellent, looking sharp.
Very good player, Rocco. Rocco should be in the squad. I do like Johnny May. Consistently outstanding, Johnny May. Well, so there you go.
England's
nice gift-wrapped present to Eddie Jones.
And to Steve Borthwick, and to... Mr. Gustard, as you mentioned, he's rubbed some people up the wrong way as Eddie Jones already, hasn't he?
Good.
Well, Bristol have said the RFU have behaved disgracefully, I think was the word they used.
It's one cash, and it's fine. Yeah. Sports is fine. A business.
That's the way I read it as well.
He's going to make...
Oh, no! No!
Uh-oh. Interception from 80 metres.
Yes! Quick! Tackle him! Tackle him!
5 yards out! 5 yards out! Zeebo's been hauled down.
Oh my God!
Phil's £90 bet could be riding on this.
Yes! Penalty! Yeah. Justice! Yeah. Get over here, Pro 12. Oh God, it's exciting, isn't it?
Whew.
Who was that? Was it Thompson that got back? That's some serious gas.
Oh my word! Well, they caught the 13, didn't they?
It serves him right. Who's the 13? It serves him right with getting caught for having a top knot.
Yeah, exactly right.
Bristol have got their pound of flesh by the sound of it. So
they're £500 of flesh.
Yeah. £500,000
of flesh. Yeah. What do you think of these selections? I'm pretty positive about those. I feel quite excited about them.
I read a very good write-up of Alex King talking about his Wasps days. He was masterminded everything from fly half. Then his time at Clermont.
Yeah.
And he finished his career at Clermont. Apparently they wanted to offer him an extended contract, but an injury prevented them, and he started coaching there, and he's very, very highly thought of.
Yeah, a Welsh version of Alex King is Stephen Jones. Obviously went to Clermont, very well thought of, and rumours are he might be in the Welsh setup sooner rather than later, especially with the way the Scarlets are playing.
So yeah, I'm happy with the appointments.
Yep.
My only concern is that I don't see Borthwick as a specialist scrimmaging coach. In fact, Japan had a separate scrimmaging coach, and England's scrimmage hasn't been performing that well, so I would quite like to see an appointment in that regard.
What?
Oh, God! Deliver! Yes!
Cash in the bank!
Get in! That 90 quid
make it rain,
good, Phil.
Make it rain! Woo!
Party time!
But what goes through your head when you...
Cocaine and prostitutes right now. That's what I'm thinking.
Let's get back to the games then and rattle through some of these. So Sunday's games, Pool 1, Toulouse...
Hang on, we've not done Sunday's games for this week yet, Tim.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought... I thought you were doing the predictions for next week.
No.
You're getting way ahead of yourself now.
Whoa, Tim.
Toulouse went down to some pride Ulstermen.
Oh, I am...
How proud were you, Phil?
I am so proud, Tim. I'm even wearing my special Ulster shirt, my Ruan Pienaar Ulster shirt.
Your match fit,
which
shrink wrap shirt.
It is... I think I must have put on some holiday weight. It is very, very tight. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get out of this without a pair of scissors. It's a brilliant game. It's a brilliant performance. Superb defence. So much passion and heart from the Ulster players.
I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, I'll say a couple of years ago, we might be like 5 years ago now, but the Nigerian FA decided they were going to ban the Nigerian team playing because the performances they were putting in were so inferior to the standard that they were expected. The government got involved. I really, really want the French government to get involved now because this is not to lose. They are just so awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just terrible. They're like Toulon, but without the names. They spent 32 million euros on wages this year, down from 34 million. And this is all
I don't believe they spent that on wages. What are you talking about? That might be the whole operating costs of the whole club. But yeah. I don't believe they spent 34 million on
wages. Well, that's about 15 million.
There's two sides to it in France, isn't there? The salary cap is, I think, 12 million euros for players, but they can then have all these concurrent deals, concurrent contracts for percent in merchandise and advertising, marketing deals, that kind of stuff. Mm. That was the fact that it was given on. It was Sky Sports, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that's just their total operating costs or the player wage bill or when you count everything. I'm not quite sure, but that was a figure given.
Yeah, so, I mean, the product that they put out is just so rubbish. And I don't think they even know what kind of team that they want to be. Half the team are massively overweight. The other half, or should I say two members of the pack, are superb athletes. So you've got, for instance, Camara, Dessoutoir and Haran Ordeki, who are genuinely good athletes. But then the rest of them are just fat messes. there's no nice way to put it. The fly half was as the commentator said, a scrum half who's built like a prop. Yeah, and just shoveled stuff everywhere.
Jean-Marc Doucet, he has put on some serious bulk.
I know.
From when I last saw him.
And his favourite move seemed to be the crash ball from 10. Crash ball 10. That's what 32 million euros gets you, a crash ball 10.
So. Well, that said, still a good place to go and come away with the points for some pride, Ulsterman.
Brilliant performance.
It was.
Ulster's third win in French soil, on French soil. I think they lost 13 of their first 14 games on French soil and then have won three of their last four. So, good run of form against the Frogs.
And great fact as well, Phil. Well done. Clermont.
Oh, dear.
Put Exeter to the sword.
Didn't they just? They
wreaked vengeance.
Yes.
Jonathan Davis got a try.
Looking good, Jonathan Davis.
Yeah, the problem with Jonathan Davis is I think he's going to miss a lot of rugby. As we all know, head trauma isn't a funny issue, but I think he's going to miss substantial game time because of head trauma.
Why?
Well, he's not had any head trauma.
Yeah,
but his celebration, right, is the thing where you put the hand across your face,
like Bastereau.
Yeah, which is also the exact same thing with the physios used to signal head trauma. So every time he scores, he's going to go through concussion protocol, and then when he's denying that he's had concussion.
No, I'm fine. I'm not even taking a blow.
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly what a concussed man would say, Jonathan.
You're off. So I don't think we're going to see him for months now.
What struck me when I looked at the team list is just again what a difficulty France have got, because I think in the starting lineup there was only six players that could turn out for France in the Six Nations playing at one of France's premier
teams.
Is that
teams. Right?
It was six or seven, but not many, because you've got players. You've got a
Cudmore, Vahamina,
Lee,
Collius,
Philly,
yeah,
Fritz Lee, Davies, Strettel, Gear.
Fritz Lee's going to be nationalised French soon.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not played for Samoa or New Zealand or anyone yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
Camille Lopez looked very, very good today. Mm. And I tell you, the other guy that stood out, the Georgian, I'm guessing he's Georgian by his name, the six.
Yeah, Victor, do you want to pronounce that, Jay?
Collishvili, I think.
Collishvili. Yeah.
Thanks, Tim.
Now, other than being a very good player, because he really, 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 really impressed me today. If you put a gold chain on that guy and put him in a suit, he could be from Central Casting as an Eastern European gangster. He's got that exact look.
Most of the Georgian.
Oh no, but he's a big, broad guy with a huge hair and a very grizzly beard. Oh yeah, most Georgians could do it.
Yeah, most
Georgians could do it, can they?
Some sad news from Clermont this... Well, maybe some sad news, but I think every cloud has a silver lining.
Go on.
Jamie Cuddmore's contract at Clermont is not going to be renewed next year.
Wow.
Oh, no.
So it'll be 38 next year.
Really?
They've said they're not going to renew it, which is obviously devastating news for me. But potentially, the silver lining could be that he gets a contract in England.
Who would want Jamie? I mean, lots of people would.
Who
where
wouldn't
would he
want
go?
Him?
Everyone would want
him. But where does he fit in the best?
It seems like a move. His partner a couple of years ago, Nathan Hines, did a stint at Sale.
I think in Sale might be
I would
place.
Love to see.
I'd go watch Sale.
I'm going to get a Sale London season
Irish,
ticket.
Sale, yeah. London Irish, Newcastle. Oh, if he comes, he'll come to Sale purely for you, Phil, I'm sure. You are his biggest fan. You even tweet with his missus about how much you love him.
I've actually been in discussions with Jamie Cuddmore's company. So the two presents I got you, I was also going to get a present for me from... Cuddmore Sinbin Wines, they're called.
they don't
have any stockists in the UK, and it would have cost me 40 quid for a cask of wine, but 70 quid for the shipping. So I just couldn't justify it for six bottles of wine, 130 quid.
Mm. I'd help you drink them.
110 quid. Yeah, well, so I didn't.
That's got to be worth plenty of money to them. The fact you just mentioned his wine brand.
Well, I also mentioned that they don't ship to the UK. So unless you're living in France at the moment, you're struggling. They did agree that if they did it, they would give me a signed photograph of Jamie Cuddmore as well. That was one of my requests.
Can we put it in the rugby dungeon?
I might have it next to my bed, actually.
Can we make a copy of it and put it in the rugby dungeon?
Of course.
Thank you, Phil.
So the only other game we've got to talk about is the one that's currently ongoing, which we've got 5 minutes left before the end of that. So let's do the games for next week,
and then
we can discuss this game on its conclusion. But one little question for you, a quick topical festive one. If you had to pick a professional rugby player to be like a Santa Claus at your local shopping centre, which rugby player would you choose?
Easy.
Oh, go on then.
I'll get a picture of him now.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking Avian Lewis Roberts might make a good one.
Oh, Javier Chocky.
Let's just have a look at this. Is there anything in this? Because they're going into TMO for that.
No. Nothing at all.
JB's referring to a tackle on Zeebo, which they were checking. He lifted him up beyond his horizontal. No, he didn't. He went down sideways, so move on.
Exactly.
And that's what the TMO will say. Xavier Chocky.
Look at him there.
Let's have a look.
Look at him.
Wow.
He's red, rotund. He's got just dye the beard grey.
Yeah. You don't even need to give him a fake beard.
Yeah, he's got the red top already from Toulon. It's perfect.
Wow.
What criteria are we going on here?
I think it's got to be a general rotundness.
See, I'm going from a different angle, and I know exactly who I want my Santa Claus to be.
Someone you want to sit on their knee?
Close, but not quite.
Go on.
Bruce Craig. I just think the gifts that they bring would be monumental. I don't think Bougelat would be a nice Santa.
Yeah, I bet he looks after the Toulon team at Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Oh, did you see the Christmas pictures from Matt Gitto and Drew Mitchell?
No.
Oh, they are outstanding.
And the worst Santa Claus I can think of would be Brian Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Probably better through their Twitter account.
Stand is an absolute workhorse, isn't he? As he loses the ball.
He'll be naturalised soon, won't he?
Oh, I've got him. Got him there.
Civilised.
Yeah.
So Drew Mitchell and Matt Gitto are elves for Santa.
Oh.
That's brilliant.
And who is the Santa? Do we know?
That's outstanding.
Just at a local shopping centre, I guess.
I'll show you something. So this came to me as a private WhatsApp picture from my sister-in-law of my nephew. So Nick
at London Irish, Nick's lad, and they had like a player's.
This is the young lad now with very long shins.
Yeah, he's about,
no, big hands.
He's about a month old. He's got massive hands and very long shins. Anyway, so yeah, he's my nephew. He's Nick's son. So he was at the London Irish players had got all their kids together, and they had a bit of a family day with, and they got a Santa Claus, and one of their, let me get this right, it's the defence coach, an Aussie defence coach whose name I don't know. It's one of the dodgiest looking Santas ever. Have a look at that.
That is spectacular.
Wow.
I'll have to find a way of tweeting that one without upsetting my sister-in-law, because yes. It's the sort of one you'd imagine that Santa to be someone on a register of some kind, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's not the guy that's self-reporting, is he?
Yeah, anyway.
Very good. Fixtures
for next weekend. We're back to domestic rugby.
Next weekend, Boxing Day fixtures.
Yeah.
Wow. Sale are playing away. I quite like going to the Boxing Day game at Sale.
Are they? I thought they were at home. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
So on Saturday the 26th, Boxing Day, first match, 2:30 kickoff, London Irish host Northampton Saints.
Saints, unfortunately.
London Irish yet to win. Northampton put in, I know it wasn't a great game, but it was a good performance against Racing to hold them. Give me Northampton.
I think Irish are going to start to show their worth soon. I think that I'm going to say they're going to come away with a losing bonus point, potentially sneak a win.
And the other side, London Irish will have been able to rest a few players. Northampton have not been able to rest a few players. Two games against Racing.
Why is one of your searches, would you risk your life for a six pack there, Phil?
That's not one of my searches.
Okay, sure.
It's a BBC suggested video.
You mentioned Sailor away. They're away to Exeter Chiefs at Sandy Park on Boxing Day.
Don't see that working out well for them.
Exeter.
Yep.
And Leicester home to Newcastle. Leicester.
Yes. So Newcastle and London Irish still to get a win in the.
I know.
In the Premiership.
I know.
Sunday's tasty.
Sunday is very tasty. London. Well, no, it's not London now, is it? It's Coventry. It's Wasps against Saracens.
Yeah.
2:00 kickoff on Sunday the 27th.
I hope we can fill the stadium for this one.
Saracens still undefeated. In all competitions this season.
Is that right?
Yeah. Only undefeated team in Europe, and top flight team in Europe.
Wow. I'm going to go. Oh man, will they come? This is the one.
Yeah,
wow.
This is.
I'm going to go Saracens. I don't think it'll be. I think it'll actually be a relatively comfortable victory for them, because I think they'll work out the key to beating Wasps way before Wasps even know what's going on.
I'm going to go for Saracens. I've just got a feeling this could be one of those deadlock games with not loads of points in it. But
yeah, they'll be.
Yeah, I think Saracens can contain Wasps, and I think towards the end they'll start pulling away. Mm. That's how I see us going.
Yeah, I think Saracens as well. I think this will be the best game of the weekend.
What is happening at Leicester? The starting to look a little bit like the old Leicester, you know. This is ominous.
Just winning some games.
Well, they're working hard.
There's a minute left and the game is won. Your bet is safe there, Phil. Unless something ridiculously miraculous for Munster. Munster are playing for a losing bonus point. Two tries
for Munster.
With only a minute on the clock.
Yes! 90 quid!
90 quid from 2 quid. That's outstanding.
That is outstanding.
Bath are going to beat Worcester at home. Keith Earls is just playing like the lads in tag rugby do when they get the ball, run backwards and around behind all their whole team. Anyway, sorry, Bath Worcester, sorry.
I think Bath will labour a victory. I don't think it'll be pretty.
Yeah.
Bath Worcester, do you know what? I'm going to say Worcester.
Wow. Good odds on that.
Yeah, that's
And then Quins, Gloucester.
Quins, each and every week, just show me that they're an incredibly competent team. I think that's the best way to actually describe them. And I think that they're going to be far too good for Gloucester. They'll put up a reasonable fight, but they'll come unstuck there, as they always do when they face any sort of adversity whatsoever.
Quins by at least 10.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. And the Pro 12 have thrown up some, because they've got geographically, they've matched.
Oh, it's Grand Slam weekend, whatever they call it, isn't it?
Scarlets Ospreys will actually be a really good game at Parky Scarlets. I would settle down and watch that one, I think, on Saturday.
Will you? I don't think I will.
Probably on BBC Wales.
I bet you don't watch it. I'm willing to put a lot.
You can get 25 minutes of it in. Before,
money fail.
Before London Irish.
Yeah. Yes. There we go.
Well
winnings.
Played. 90 quid.
Cash right. in the bank.
What are you going to spend your money on, Phil?
I'm just going to keep in the betting account. Probably next week's bet. So if I put £2 and got 90 this week, if I put 90 on next week.
That's a lot of money.
Exponential growth, that JB.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you're a financial advisor, JB. I think you're probably going to start
not anymore
advising your teams to invest in Phil.
Exactly right.
Phil will become a hedge fund. Phil's betting account.
There is actually on a serious note, because this is why I pick funds for people. And people don't understand sports betting and actually picking stocks is not dissimilar. And what I'm trying to say there is, it's all completely random luck. All completely random luck.
You sound a little bit, with a little less pizzazz, you sound like Matthew McConaughey in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. Well, more pizzazz.
you're gonna have us hit in our chest soon.
Yeah.
It's for gazies, for gazies.
But it's true, it's completely random.
Connor Ulster.
Ulster.
Some pride, Ulster, man.
Ulster, give me Ulster by 1,000,000 points.
Excellent.
I do actually think that this will be very tough going to Connacht. Yeah. They're playing some really good rugby, and they've had an easier fixture than.
They're a good team. And they've got Robbie Henshaw.
Yes.
Well, I think it's starting to happen for the Ulstermen. The corner is beginning to be turned.
Robbie Henshaw versus Stuart McCloskey will be a hell of a matchup if he plays at 12.
Hmm. Yeah. Where else might they play him? Or might they not start him?
They play him at 15. He's
sorry, Henshaw are we talking about?
Robbie Henshaw, he played at 15 before he played at 12, right. Yeah. It was Schmidt who moved him to 12.
Sunday's Pro 12 game, Zebre, Benetton, Treviso, Edinburgh, Glasgow. Edinburgh will
Glasgow
will probably. Oh, I'll go for Glasgow, actually.
Glasgow.
Yeah. Dragons against Blues.
Don't care.
Dragons.
Don't care. What else we got?
Munster Leinster. Tasty.
Ooh. Both on the back of two losses in Europe, which is obviously unusual for.
Two losses, but two good performances. This actually might be worth semi watching. I'll definitely look at the score after it's finished.
Unlike Dragons Cardiff Blues.
No, that would just be consigned to the dustbin of history. I don't care at all about that game.
Good. Did you see that?
Oh, I tell you who is playing next week. Toulouse-Toulon. If you want a real snooze fest, if you've got a bit of a hangover and you just want something to lull you off to sleep.
Power. You see the power of the two teams.
Yeah.
Nothing else. No guile, no skill.
No, God, no.
Just
God.
Power.
They'd be banned.
Just on the Dragons, did you see that the WRU only needed to pay an extra 25 grand a year to keep Tulupe Faletau in Wales?
And they said no.
And they didn't.
I don't understand this Tulupe Faletau thing. I think it's all going to come out in the wash. I'll tell you something about Welsh rugby, which is an absolute scandal. Would you like to hear something about Welsh rugby, Tim, which is an absolute scandal?
Go on, yeah.
So, RGC, this is why Wales,
RGC,
this is why Wales like, will always struggle. So, RGC
Ding.
Had a game this weekend.
I wish I had a hedge fund that put a pound in every time JB said RGC on the
exactly.
podcast.
Exactly. They had a game away at I can't remember the team's name, and as soon as it comes back to me, I'm sure Phil will look it up. And this is important, this game, because RGC are ahead of them in the league. They have three teams going up this year from the RGC's league into the Welsh Premiership, which is then just below the regions. And in order to get there, you need your A licence, right? So you know with the A licence, you've got to have certain facilities, all the rest of it. Got RGC on a bus at 7 o'clock in the morning, drove them down to Brecon, and then the game was called off. They said unplayable pitches, which was no such thing. What they're actually going to do is, because the opposition had now got their A licence, they could officially go up. And because they could go up, what they're going to do now is get a load of permits, play a load of players, rearrange the fixture with a completely different team. And this is why the internal Welsh politics just never works.
Well, stuff like that happens in lower leagues of of rugby. I know of a team. We know of a prop who was absolutely...
Oh, this is a great story. Tell the story. It's my favourite story.
Phil's nervousness might lead you to think that this happened in a team that Phil played in, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be that case. But there was there's a prop that we all know very well. He was a crucial member of a certain team that we all know quite well. Mm. I think you know this team very well, Phil. Anyway, and that main cornerstone of their pack was unavailable, and so on a frosty weekend, the night before the game, they got the hose pipe out and ran.
Oh no! Now that is I'm not sure about that, Tim. I'm not sure about the hose pipe.
Let's hear it then, Tim.
Oh, it rained. There was a very very localized shower over that pitch. The prop in question, who was very very important to the team's chances of getting wins and staying up and whatnot, he had an injury, and so a pitch was
waterlogged.
Was there was a very localized shower, most of which came out of a hose pipe on a very frosty weekend.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's genius.
There you go. So it's not just Wales.
So prop who's got probably close to 400 National League appearances these days. Yeah. He's got a hell of a number.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back. We'll get some sort of podcast in over the festive period after the Boxing Day games, 27th. By that, we'll get a podcast in at some point, and then keep listening, keep telling your mates, keep leaving your reviews on iTunes, keep listening on Acast or on iTunes, and keep tweeting.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That Rugby Podcast. Nice one, Phil.
Merry Christmas, Tim.
Merry Christmas, JB.
Merry Christmas, all.